I usually kind of like have 3 or 4 points sometimes. I got one thing I want to share with you tonight, and that's this. In case you forget anything else, this is all I've come to say tonight. Stick with it. That's the only thing I want to let you know today. Stick with it in these crazy times, in these times when you want to give up and throw in the towel. Stick with it. And I want to go to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 5, and I want to read verses 9 to 14. If you're just grateful, if you just happen to be alive, throw in the chat, I'm just grateful. These are some serious times we're living in. And if you're just grateful, if you're just thankful to be alive, if you're thankful that your name was on the list this morning to wake up out of sleep and you were able to put one foot in front of the other, y'all are not hearing me today. If you've never almost been dead before, you don't know the blessing it is to be alive. And so if you're just grateful, just throw in the chat and say, I am grateful. I'm grateful. And I want to read 2 Kings 5. And I want to start at verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door to Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious. He went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Paphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near, verse 13, and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something hard, to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, watch this, and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. According to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman from Syria has navigated his way through his career in the military, and he has performed his duty well. He has performed his duties well, so much so that he becomes the commander of its army. And scripture records that he is a great man, that Naaman is highly regarded, that Naaman is known for his leadership abilities with leading the army through successful campaigns, conquering, destroying, and defeating any opposing force. Naaman is well known throughout the then known world for his military prowess and for his strategies and his methods of war tactics. Naaman is given success and victory because the Lord's favor is on him. Don't miss this. The Bible says that the reason he has victory and the reason that he is a mighty warrior is because of the hand of the Lord. He is awarded medals of honor and he's a decorated officer in the military. And yet, in spite of all that Naaman has going on, in spite of Naaman's list of accolades, in spite of everything well that you can say about Naaman, in spite of all that Naaman has going on, the text says that Naaman has leprosy. Now, those of you that have read the Bible before, you have possibly sped past and missed what the text is saying. You've read this story of Naaman before, and I don't want to insult your intelligence, but you've probably sped past this portion of scripture and missed what the text is saying. The text is teaching us that although Naaman is favored, although Naaman is blessed, although the Lord has given Naaman much success, he still has leprosy. I hope I'm going to talk to somebody tonight. In spite of everything that Naaman has going on, in spite of all the good things he's got, in spite of how much he makes, in spite of the bring home pay with the taxes taken out, in spite of all that he's going on, in spite of the wife and the kids, or the 2.5 kids and the dog named Samson and the goldfish named Boo Boo, in spite of all that going on, the text says that he still has leprosy. In spite of everything that's going well in his life, you better come get this, because I ain't going to be too long. I just got this little bit to talk to you about. In spite of all that the hand of the Lord has allowed him to do, in spite of everything that he's got going on, he's still affected in his life with this life-altering disease called leprosy. Now, at the time of our text, there is no cure for leprosy. At the time of our text, there is no cure for leprosy. At the time when this was written, there was no cure for leprosy. If you had leprosy today, you can be made clean. But at the time of our text, there was no cure for leprosy. And what made leprosy so difficult? I feel God about to talk to somebody today. What made leprosy so difficult was the fact, what made it so difficult to deal with was the fact that leprosy was a slow growing disease. Mm-hmm. It was slow walk. It didn't all just happen immediately. It happened progressively. In other words, you may have the disease for some time, but not show any signs that you've already started the progression towards death. Leprosy was equated to death because, except by radical miracle, you were certain to die. Catch this. Naaman was fighting armies. Naaman was succeeding against opponents. Naaman was conquering other armies. Naaman was awarded awards and accolades. Naaman was granted success, but he was losing his fight with leprosy. Naaman was leading his army and defeating enemies. He was receiving victory after victory, and yet he was being defeated by leprosy. Naaman was fulfilling his responsibilities as commander, as husband, father, and leader, and was successful in doing so. But there was one thing that was on him. There was one thing he could not shake. There was one thing he had no control over. There was one thing he could not just snap his finger and do away with. There was one thing that he was not succeeding in, and that was he was dying of leprosy. Can I suggest, I hope you're still with me, I ain't going to be too much longer. Can I first suggest that Naaman represents those of us in the body of Christ who appear to have everything together but are dying on the inside? That's Adventism 101. I'm sorry, I don't mean the metal, but maybe I do. Those of us who appear to have everything going on but a dying on the inside. I know the song says that you don't look like what you've been through. And I know people have said that you can just fake it until you make it. But there's always present in the body of Christ, in the people of God, people who dress themselves up and present themselves and dress up in the finest American name brand clothes to cover the fact that they're dying on the inside. They'll dress themselves up in the best smiles and the most accurate makeup so that their slow death won't be revealed to the masses. And because it hurts so much inside, they're hoping to God that the name brand they put on and the makeup that they put on will cover the pain of leprosy that has invaded their life. And what do you do when the death of you has become the life of you and you don't even know who you are anymore because you have adjusted to living with the death for so long that you accept death's possibilities more than you look for God-led opportunities? I don't know who I'm talking to today, but there's somebody in the house tonight over these airways who you know you got something going on the inside, but they told you to cover it up. But how many know you can only cover up for so long? In fact, we ought to give out Emmys. We ought to give out Emmys. I know they just had it on Sunday, but we ought to give out Emmys in the body of Christ who have faked their way and have acted their way through the church. But if the truth be told, Naaman represents a class of people who are good on the outside, but are dying on the inside. But can I also suggest, y'all better come get this, I ain't gonna be much longer. Can I also suggest, Naaman represents the fact, I feel the Holy Ghost, this is good. He represents the fact that regardless of your physical regression, God has blessed you with spiritual progression. Okay. Regardless of your physical regression, God has blessed you with spiritual progression. In other words, regardless of your physical setbacks, God has blessed you to continue to step forward. And here it is, because even though you're experiencing trouble over here, God is still blessing you to still move forward over there. And even with all you got going on, and this is a lot going on, even with all you got going on in your life right now, I wish I had company with somebody that would throw in the chat who ain't too proud to beg, who will say, I got some stuff going on, preacher. I got some stuff going on. And even though with all you have going on in life, look at what God has allowed you to do by the power of his spirit. Look what God, despite all you've been through, despite all you've got going on, like Naaman, despite everything that's going on in your life, God has allowing you to move forward. Can I help you praise God real quick? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't let everything fall apart at the same time? Okay. You may have lost your job, but at least all your bills are getting paid. He might have walked out on you, but at least you're getting a good night's sleep. You ain't finding good over here, but at least God has blessed you over there. And I'm looking for just one person who can lift their hands and say, thank you, God, for not allowing everything to fall apart at the same time. Look at the context. Look at the context. I feel God tonight because the text says that even though God's favor's on Naaman, he still has leprosy. And I'm speaking this word tonight. I'm speaking this word tonight because in this everything good should always happen to me season. That was kind of a run-on kind of thing, but I feel like running on tonight. In this everything good should always happen to me season. And in this COVID season, I'm sick and tired of putting on the mask every time I leave my house. And in this season of mental fragility and anguish, and in this, I don't know if every time I see a police officer, I'm going to get shot. In this season, we have believed that our misfortune is a singular sign that God has abandoned or left us. And your difficult or painful reality are signs that God has moved on. But before you press the eject button and before you pack your Samsonite luggage and move away from God just because you perceive that things aren't working out quite the way you imagine, I like to offer a perspective on your pain. That's what I want to do real quick before I move on. I want to offer a perspective on your pain. And here it is. Favor and frustration are closely related. They are. Favor and frustration are closely related. I know y'all want me to hurry up. I know y'all ready to eat. I know y'all got to put the kids to bed, but just give me a few minutes to work. But favor and frustration are closely related because they both require trust from God in us. Favor and frustration are so close. Because it's a thin line between faith and foolishness, because sometimes foolishness will dress itself up in faith's clothes. And sometimes what you think is a faith move is really a foolish move. And favor and frustration are really close because they both require trust from God in us. And God often asks us no questions before giving either to us. God don't come ask us, do you want my favor? God don't come ask us, do you want frustration? And yet, here it is. If we can just stick with God, that's all I came to say. If we could just hang in there with God, when it appears as if God has no clue what he's doing, and when it appears that God does not have the whole world in his hands, and when it appears that God has totally lost, if we can just stick with it and stick with him in our frustration and fragility and push past our personal opinions of what we think it should go and how we think God should move, we might discover a new reality as to who God really is. And I want to speak to those who are in much peril and pain right now, because sometimes people who God allows to experience much pain are actually much favored. And if you can just stick with God through your pain to your power, only to discover that pain-filled and leprous-like people are closer to God than they really realize. I mean, catch this, to know and realize that God in his love and God in his wisdom would trust you. Okay, I'm sorry. To think that God would trust you with anything, you can't even hold on to $10. But to think that God would trust you, you can't even wake up when God beckons you, get up and talk to me. To think that God will trust you with such levels of pain and hurt, and that God will believe in you and have enough faith in you that you'll continue to stick with him and stay with God and hang in there despite of it all. And have I got company from one person that are throwing a check, ain't too proud to type and say that there are people in a leprous condition tonight, right now, who are suffering through things that other people can't see, but you have determined that come what may, come hell or high water, you are going to stick with God. You are going to stick with God. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay with God in spite of it all. And while Naaman is suffering, during one of his successful military campaigns, he captures a young girl who serves Naaman's wife as her maid. And she hears of what is happening with her captor. Ooh, it's my cousin saying it's about to get gooder. She hears of what's happening with her captor. She hears that her captor has leprosy. I wish I had time to talk about how sometimes your deliverance will come through people who you mistreated. I don't have no time for that. I just wish I had time to talk about how sometimes your deliverance will come through people who you mistreated. And this girl tells Naaman's wife, if he goes to talk to the man of God, if he goes and has one conversation with Elisha, I know he will be healed. When Naaman gets word of how, and this is where I want to hang my hat off tonight, when he hears of how and where his healing will take place, notice his response. Hold on, hold up. Okay, I'm sorry. That's NIV. Hold up. I already had in my mind an idea on how God was going to heal me. I thought that God would fix my financial problem by way of a large check. But instead, God chose to fix my finances by adjusting how I spend money. Okay, you didn't like that. Let me come in the side door because you locked the front door. I thought God would fix my marriage by dealing with my spouse and fixing them. But instead, God chose to fix my marriage through therapy, fasting and prayer. Oh, okay. Let me come in the back door because you closed the window to the side door. I thought God would take care of my health through miraculous healing, but instead he pushed me to change my diet and exercise. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me tonight. And what do you do when the biggest blessings you receive won't come because God said, let there be light, but they'll come because of, here it is, you don't like it, partnership. When hearing the word from the man of God, go wash in the Jordan, he turns and literally walks away from God's process of healing and doesn't want to stick with it because of the Lord's process. He does not like how God wants to do it. And I'll be the first to admit, I really would. I'll be the first to admit that I often don't like God's process. I often don't like God's process because his process includes things I don't enjoy, and they make me question the validity or necessity of God requiring me to stick with the process of changing my life when what he's asking me to do is not connected to what I need him to do. Y'all are not hearing me tonight. One writer said it this way. Because I know y'all tired of this. I know y'all heard me. He said, we want joy without sacrifice. We want character without suffering. We want success without failure. We want gain without pain. We want healing without his way. We want it all without going for it all. And some of y'all are not going to come here with me on this. But that's kind of my angst. I'm an 80s kid, but that's kind of my angst with where the NBA is right now, because everybody want to get on these super teams. And get a quick road to the NBA championship. You want to get a quick road. But what happened to the time when you suffer and you grind it out and you stick with the team? You hang in there in the locker room with your boys. There are no quick fixes in the kingdom. I thought Naaman said prophet would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over my spots of leprosy. Surely the rivers of Damascus are better than the rivers of Israel. As a decorated commander, as a fifth generation, seven-day advent. Okay, I'm sorry. I deserve better than this. I've been in a church leadership position for years. You're supposed to treat me better than this, God, than to wash in a dirty Jordan River. He's upset because he's made to go into a dirty body of water to receive healing. And that's what my issue is tonight. I'll talk about myself since you don't like nobody talk about you. I don't like when God's solution includes taking time and causing me to be committed to his process. I don't like when I gotta humble myself and do a tour of duty in the muddy Jordan River and expose myself to unfamiliar and difficult places and spaces in life, knowing that God, who was limitless in options, could choose another and seemingly more suitable process to fix my life when God knows I don't like going into Jordan. And not only do I have to wash in a least preferred place, but I gotta stay there longer than a preferred time. Notice, I can't just walk in the shallow end. Woo. Y'all are tired of this because I know, but I can't just walk in the shallow end and wade in the water. But I've got to literally go in the dirty water and submerge myself seven times. You telling me I got to do that? I got to do all that, God? You can't choose another way? And Naaman began to walk away upset at God's process. And the servant then says to Naaman, hey, bro, listen. If you would have been asked to go and kill an entire army, you would have no problem doing that. Okay, yeah. See, if God told you to do something that you don't mind doing, you would do it with no questions asked. But because you're asked to do something that you don't necessarily like, then you want to quit. And that's all I came to tell you tonight. That you need to stick with God and don't walk away from God just because it takes longer and because it's not in a preferred place. After all, you shouldn't give up on your child because you don't know that God is up to something. Don't you dare walk away from your calling because you have no clue as to what God is about to do. Don't you throw in the towel on your marriage. You don't know what God is about to bless you with. Stick with your morning devotions. You will reap the harvest if you faint. Now dip down, lean in heavy with your relationship with God. You are closer to God than you realize. And I came to let somebody know that before you throw in the towel and before you throw up your hands and before you give up, I want you to stick with God no matter what. No matter what forces are pulling you away, no matter what people, places, and things are telling you to leave God and abandon God, stick with God, even if you got to go into the Jordan. After all, and I feel God, Pastor JD, I'm about to close, but I got to close on this point right here. I got to close on this right here. Just go down to the Jordan, because after all, even though the Jordan River isn't necessarily a preferred place, it's actually the best place. Because I know I don't want to insult y'all intelligence. You all are good Bible readers. But after all, in case you forgot, the Jordan River is actually a place of freshness and fertility. I know you don't like the Jordan River, but after all, it is called the Garden of God. I know you don't like the Jordan River, but it's the place where Jacob crossed on his way to meet God. The Jordan River is the place where Jephthah killed the Ephraimites and where Gideon defeated the Midianites. I know you don't like Jordan. I know it's not your preferred place, but it's where the Israelites crossed over into the promised land. It's where Elijah and Elisha crossed on dry ground. The Jordan River is the place where the Lord was baptized and where believers crossed to come to hear Jesus preach and be healed of their disease. I know you don't like the Jordan River, but it's when the enemies of Jesus sought to capture him, Jesus took refuge in the Jordan River. I know it's not the preferred place, but in case you forgot, miracles take place at Jordan. Change takes place at Jordan. People see the Lord at Jordan. People are rescued at Jordan. I know you don't like the Jordan, but it's the best place. And that's all I came to tell you. Stick with it. And I'm learning in my relationship with God that you don't have to know everything to be obedient to everything. And you don't know what the Lord is up to. But I got a sneaky suspicion that those who have suffered much, those that have had to do tour of duty with leprous-like situations, God has got something special in store for you. God has got something special in store for you. How do I know? Well, the word says, be not weary in well-doing, because in due time you will reap if you faint not. Stick with it. I ain't saying it's easy. I hate going to the Jordan, but it's really the best place. It's not the preferred place, but it's God's place. It's the place that God is going to change you. It's the place that God is going to restore you. It's the place that God is going to turn things around for his glory and for your good. Father, in the name of Jesus, we hate having to do tours of duty in the Jordan River. But I heard your word tonight. If we would just stick with it, hang in there, don't throw in the towel. Stay with God in spite of it all. I just believe, God, that you're going to work everything out. There's somebody right now during this month is their third dip in the river. Somebody is saying, God, how many times do I have to dip? I feel like I've been dipping for the last 3 years. God, I pray for that individual that's felt tired. They have no more strength to dip. And when they have no more strength, I pray that by the grace of God, you will pick them up and set their feet back on a place called straight. God, don't let them drown in the Jordan. I pray that you would help us to hold on to you when giving up seems easier. Touch somebody tonight, God, who is about to lose their grip because they felt abandoned by you and they felt like you don't have their best interest in them. Show up for somebody tonight. and let them know that in spite of it all, you still have the whole world in your hands, including their life, is my prayer. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.